Welcome to Saturday Morning Meeting for Suppliers, brought to you by 8th and Walton, the premier destination for supplier development, and sponsored in part by Dun & Bradstreet Credibility Corp, the leading provider of credit and credibility solutions for businesses. I'm Andy Shook, and thank you for joining us. The U.S. Hispanic population is growing, and it's growing quickly. By 2050, it's estimated to triple in size and account for nearly 30% of the population. But what's more interesting is this population's buying power. Right now, it stands at $1.2 trillion. Just imagine what it'll be in 2050. Today's focus is the Hispanic shopper. Our guests, industry leaders within the multicultural population, share some insider secrets on how to develop your retail strategy accordingly. Later in the show, you'll also learn how a Northwest Arkansas network of executive women coordinates with the LPGA. But for now, let's start our Hispanic shopper conversation with Aaron Conrad, director of Colectiva Latina. We're here today with Aaron Conrad from Collective Bias. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you.
So, what is Colectiva Latina?
Very good pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you. I worked on that really hard.
I know. Now, if I put an R in there to have to roll, that makes
I can roll my R's too. Yes, I can.
It makes it a little more complicated. So, Colectiva Latina is from Collective Bias. It's a portion of Collective Bias that we have developed specifically to help brands reach, connect, and engage with the Hispanic consumer, the Latino consumer. So we do that, obviously. Collective Bias works in social shopper media, and right. We developed a special community that's about 350 Latinas, well, Latina and Latinos, so it's both male and female,
okay.
That speak to culturally relevant stories in their lives and weave the brands into those stories.
And how long has Colectiva Latina been?
It's about a year and a half, so it's relatively new.
Why start it? What was the reasoning?
Well, so I'm sure you've heard that the Hispanic market's like growing.
I have heard that,
expanding,
yes.
And you know, right now we're at 17%, but within the next 5 years, we're supposed to be over 20%, and 2050, you know, we're supposed to be the majority, not the minority. So it's kind of like brands realize I better get on this train now before it leaves. But there's, unfortunately, in shopper, there's just not very many specific ways to reach the Latino shopper.
So why should the Hispanic segment be so attractive to brands and marketers? And it's obviously a growing segment, but how are they different than the general consumer?
So Hispanics shop differently, right? And they also consume differently. So the Hispanic shopper spends more, their basket is actually larger than the general market.
Really?
When they go shopping, yeah. So they shop the store very differently. Fresh is really, really, really important. Meats, produce, dairy, you know, all of that is first on their list and they take care of it first. And then they also shop with their families. So what we call pester power is very, and when I say families, I don't mean like, they just take the kids. I mean, everybody together Sunday goes, abuela, tío, like we all go together to the grocery store.
Really?
And, you know, do kind of like separate and some people go grab certain things, but all together. And so pester power is really, really important. Kids have a lot of pull.
Then how are you reaching and targeting this segment?
Well, so we're using influencers, right? So influencers are on social media. They already have a very large and engaged following. They usually write blogs, and that's one way that they're telling the stories of their lives. They're talking about how they're trying to raise their kids bilingual or what it is to be a bicultural, you know, woman in the workforce or, you know, being a working mom. But that has a different spin on it than the general market influencers because it's different for them because they're Latina, right? And so maybe they're speaking Spanish at home, or maybe they're not, or maybe they talk about what it means to be in the boardroom and act one way, but when you're with your friends, you're acting another way, you know, those sorts of things. So those topics are being talked about by them in their social media channels.
Okay.
And then we weave the brands into being a part of those topics.
So what is shopper social media?
So shopper social media is the way that we are able to reach the shopper through social before they get to the store, right? And so we're able to engage and connect with them in their path to purchase, but as that path to purchase is happening.
Right? Well, and I think this is really important with Walmart, right? With EDLP coming into play,
right.
Not being able to spend as much money at store level, it's right. important to be able to spend it outside.
Well, and that's interesting because I've been to a couple of presentations by some of the leadership at Walmart here, and every single one of them has said, you know, with a slide or two saying shopping, you know, shopper marketing is no longer in store. It starts way before they get there, right? And that is happening on tablets. It's happening on mobile. Hispanics are using mobile probably 2/3 more than the general market. And so their penetration of how they're using mobile is much higher and the device is much more important, right? And so that shopping process or that, you know, decision-making process about what I want to buy, what's most important, what goes on my recipe list, that's happening outside of the store. And what's great about the media that we create is that we talk about that process. You know, it's not just, oh, all of a sudden this cereal appeared on my shelf, right? And so now I'm going to fix it for my children. It's more about had to go to the store, trying to find a healthy breakfast. What do I want to do? Well, we don't have that much time, but I want to sit down with my kids. You know, that whole conversation is actually able to happen within the content that we're creating.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing what Colectiva Latina is doing and how you guys are communicating to the Hispanics. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Sure. Yeah. I hope I was able to give you some new information.
You did. Thank you.
So we're here today with Amy Wilson from the Padilla Group. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you. It's great to be here today.
So tell us a little bit about the Padilla Group. And this is a supplier to Walmart, right?
Yes. The Padilla Group's been around for about 30 years. They've been supplying to Walmart for about 5 or 6 now. 3 different brands, 2 of which are imported from Mexico, and then 1 of which that we actually manufacture ourselves. Some of our products are imported from Spain, some Mexico, some manufactured here in the U.S.
Now, you recently partnered with Collective Bias on a survey for the Hispanic market. Mm-hmm. From your findings, how are consumers shopping the ethnic sales?
You know what? It's completely different and new. So we did a survey, and we had about 150 Latinas respond and about 150 general market respondents.
General market, explain that.
General market is everybody and anybody that is non-Hispanic.
Okay, gotcha.
So there could be African American, Asian, any other ethnicity, Caucasian, everything else in there. And what we did was instead of cutting the data by ethnicity, we cut it by behavior. And what we were able to do was take a look at if you shop for certain types of specific Hispanic or Mexican type items.
Okay.
And if you frequently shop at a Hispanic grocery store, then we classified you in one way. If you buy these Hispanic or stereotypical Hispanic or imported brands, but you are more geared towards a regular mainstream retailer, mm-hmm. we classified you in a different way. So what we found was, interestingly enough, that there's been quite a bit of crossover into everyday general market that are really buying and acting like Hispanic shoppers, and quite a bit of Hispanic shoppers that are acting and buying like general market shoppers.
And how did that information help you? How was that different from maybe how you looked at it in the past?
I think that it's still going to take some time, and I think we're still a little bit new industry-wide to this, but I think that it's really supports the idea that we need to be looking at it as total market. Hispanic shoppers are different. They do have different needs and different interests. But as we continue to grow and the Hispanic shopper continues to grow, they're also beginning to shop and act just like everybody else. So as
they're acting and shopping that way, are you finding that the retailers are moving away from just having an ethnic section, like a Hispanic section?
Absolutely. Some are.
Yeah.
Some products are just sometimes moving off of ethnic shelves or aisles, or even being in both places.
Okay.
Or creating new product that is a little bit more mainstream than some of the core product. So, example, some of our more successful brands that are working and targeting specifically around both, they have core items.
Let's talk about that. What's a brand that's really doing a good job of effectively marketing to both the general and Hispanic?
If I'm going to be fair and open to all of it.
Probably one of your brands.
Well, yes, I will tell you that there's plenty of my brands that are doing really well with it. But no, in all fairness, Herdez does a great job with it. We have 2 brands that are doing a really good job with it right now. One is El Yucateco. It's a hot sauce. And we specifically appeal to both sides, very split. So even when we're working with Collective Bias, we make sure that we're not just using Collective Latina and Hispanic bloggers. We also use some of their general market and foodie bloggers that are going to appeal more towards everyday users. And those bloggers also are important to our Latina bloggers because sometimes they're interested in how to make, you know, habanero ranch dip as well. And it's not necessarily something they would generally use. They have their way of using it, the product.
So the brands can do a better job of trying to go to both? Do you think that's kind of the next generation? You can't just focus on one?
I do. I think that it's not just from a marketing standpoint, but also even from product innovation standpoint. You know, we have to be able to listen to what the shopper needs and wants. Shoppers are in control these days, not retailers and not brands. I mean, let's face it. They can pretty much demand anything is created they want.
Well, and the communication, too. I mean, we think of the way social media and the way they interact with one another and everything else. It's changing the way we shop and it's changing the way retailers, you know, go to market.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, think of this Hispanic. You don't have to only speak to them in Spanish anymore.
That's right.
They consume media in both languages. They're communicating in both languages. You don't have to treat them with kid gloves anymore.
Yeah.
And we especially don't want to throw Cinco de Mayo promotions down out there as the only form of communication or bad Spanglish on our on our POS in our media. So I think that it's definitely more total market and more looking at what the shoppers truly need, regardless of ethnicity, and more about need states.
Yeah. Well, Amy, thank you so much for coming in today sharing your story. It's interesting getting a supplier's perspective, and especially a Hispanic supplier, to be able to come in here and talk about your brands and what it's doing in the marketplace.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Saturday morning meeting for suppliers. We'll be right back.
Mach 1 Financial Group has moved to Bentonville. Now we're easier to find and even better equipped to assist you with your financial needs. Visit us at our new location, 408 North Walton Boulevard, and check out our state-of-the-art Lunch and Learn conference room.
Bentonville Plaza, across the street from the Walmart home office. The best office location offers proximity and services like no other business complex in the area. Call 479-200-1112 today. CaseStack, the leader in collaborative retail consolidation programs. We offer the supply chain expertise needed to navigate the challenges of selling products with the world's largest retailers. And we provide customers with a customizable, scalable, environmentally sustainable supply chain with the same advanced technology typically used by larger rivals. By leveling the playing field, CaseStack lowers distribution costs and increases overall margins. CaseStack, retail logistics is what we do.
GigWalk is transforming how work gets done. As the leading mobile workforce management platform, GigWalk provides companies with mobile tools and a data-driven approach to improving business efficiency. Leading brands and retailers use GigWalk to manage their field teams and to mobilize 750,000 GigWalkers to collect data intelligence about their business and brands. Are the shelves stocked? Are my products priced competitively? Are the correct promotions in place? Visit us at GigWalk.com to learn more. GigWalk, make work better.
I'm of the opinion that those of us in general management roles, if I were to estimate it, we're a good 6 to 7 years behind our friends in sales and marketing with regards to really knowing about the Latino segment, right? You know, because if you think about it, our friends in sales and marketing, when they want to connect with more Latino consumers, they do the research, they segment our population. They know that if you want to sell to my dad, you do this, this, and this. If you want to sell to me, you do something different. If you want to sell to my boys, something totally different, right? Because they know that much about us. We really need to learn a little bit from the playbook of our friends in sales and marketing to say, hey, you know, what more do we need to know about the Latino and Latino professional that might help us more effectively target our messaging, our recruitment advertising, and our employment brand from a perspective of an employer, right? We need to do more of that. We can help close that gap because you'll be amazed how much we don't know about this segment yet. And what I would encourage you to do, you know, when you're looking at your Latino talent programs, is to say, hey, before you start talking about your Latino talent acquisition, your recruiting initiatives, before you talk about retention, before you talk about the Latino, how do we accelerate their development, you need a more foundational base of knowledge. And then I also think it's important to understand what's trending in the Latino community, because there's some things right now with regards to the you know, with the Latino professionals and our experience in corporate America that is shifting. And we as employers, we as corporate citizens, we need to understand what those shifts are so we can better create programs that will help these folks who are gonna be the future of our workforce, right? You know, make no bones about it, people. The workforce of the future is gonna have an increasingly Latino identity, right? It just will. So those of you who understand that and get ahead of that curve are gonna have that competitive advantage. And not to scare any of you, but having worked with some companies that I consider are doing this and have really sophisticated and rigorous Latino talent management programs, they're starting to pull away from the rest of you who don't. In that gap, you know, you run the risk that pretty soon they're over-indexed on their ability to hire top Latino talent. And if you don't start closing that gap, pretty soon it's going to be too big for you to close it. I said, well, do you know what the difference between term Latino and Hispanic is? No. You know, do you know what the average age of Latinos are? Nope, don't have a clue. You know, what size of consumer spend? They usually tend to know that one, right? Because they're thinking dollar signs. Number four, I'll be surprised how many companies don't know that. You know, and I'll say, and I'll put them on the spot, right? I'll say, oh, number four, that's the easiest question on there. Being Latino, it is a, and sometimes you hear a little silence because they're not sure, right? I'll say, hey, being Latino is an ethnicity. It's not a race. It's not based on our, you know, physical features. So that's why you'll see some executives feel a bit embarrassed when they'll say things like, well, she didn't look Latina. Right? I'm like, well, really, what does a Latino look like, right? You know, they don't know that Latinos, we can be blonde hair and blue eyes, or we can be Afro-Latino, right? Anything in between. Latino birth-to-death ratio. This is what's driving a lot of this growth, right? Again, a couple data points just for comparison purposes. Anglo community in the U.S., birth-to-death ratio about 1.3 to 1. Black, African-American, birth-to-death ratio in the U.S. are 1.2, about the same, 1.2, 1.2 and a half to 1. So for every, you know, Black, African-American that passes away in the U.S. today, they're replaced by 1.25 Black, African-American children, right? So they're growing, but not at a very fast rate, right? Now you compare that to the Latino birth-to-death ratio. You guys know what that is? What is it? Would you take a guess? I just gave you two data points. What would you say the Latino birth-to-death ratio is? Any guesses? 3 to 1? 8 to 1. For every Latino right now that passes away in the U.S., they're being replaced by 8 Latino children.
So joining me today is Azu Denton of 8th and Walton. Welcome, Azu.
Thank you.
So today we're talking about the Hispanic shopper and this huge market potential that's there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd imagine that you learned quite a bit when you were at Walmart, and you've also worked with a number of different suppliers in Hispanic marketing. Tell us a little bit about that, about your experiences.
Well, I worked with several suppliers, different categories, from food to cosmetics to electronics. And I can tell you that doing research, you know, how we best sell our products, there's huge differences between the Hispanic customer and the general market customer.
And so how big is the Hispanic market?
It's $1.2 trillion. So if you want your fair share, you really need to do your research.
Wow. Now, do all products kind of fit into that, hey, this, my product is a Hispanic product? I mean, can everyone say, hey, I need a piece of that pie?
There's categories that are essential.
Okay.
And some of those are beauty, of course.
Okay.
Baby is huge. Electronics is huge. Mobile is huge. You know, there's others like home, you know, apparel and other categories.
So, Azu, what are the differences between the Hispanic shoppers and what you would call the general market shopper?
So one of the surprising things about the Hispanic customers is they will spend $1 more on a product.
They'll spend more.
More on a product that performs its function, that they trust, that they care about, than general market. General market, we spend $1 less and buy something that is, you know, fairly inexpensive. Hmm. But for Hispanics, it's important to perform its function because they can't afford to spend another dollar buying something different. So that's okay. The difference. You know, quality is everything. Quality,
right.
So not quality, but value is everything.
And they see value in the brands that they know work.
It
and
works.
That they trust.
They trust.
Right.
Absolutely.
They need to be marketing and telling those customers more about that product so that the Hispanic shopper can trust it. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. So, you know, there's several ways on how to do that. Obviously, packaging is one. Okay. You know, understanding like the color shades in cosmetics, you cannot use, you know, blush, you need to use a certain tones. So you have, even at the product level, you have to introduce new products to be able to serve those customers. So, you know, it's an opportunity for suppliers, for sure.
And what's surprising about this market? What's the most surprising thing?
Well, I think what surprises you is, for example, if you look at their income, they're behind general market.
Okay.
But if you go to their home and open the cupboards and look what they're shopping, there is actually branded products. But they're branded products on the categories that are important to them.
So why is this market so important for suppliers to understand right now?
Okay. The reason they need to understand it now is because it over time, from here to 2060, the population is going to be mostly multicultural. So those differences are going to be huge because the suppliers need to meet the demand. So there's going to be demand for new products, services, and they need to start now to try to figure out and understanding that you know, multicultural customers, Hispanic customers, versus general market.
And how to advertise and to market and to bring awareness of those products.
Yes.
And get Hispanics to start buying their products now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you look at the worth of a customer, Hispanics are number one because they are younger, their household size is bigger, and then the span of life. So for that reason is the reason that Hispanics are so, you should really try to focus on how to you know, bring them in.
So if people have further questions about this, suppliers are looking for some other questions on this, other opportunities within the market, how can they get help?
Okay, within Ethan Walton, you know, we do training, but we also do consulting one-on-one.
Okay.
So we have blocks of times, and we have experts that have worked at Walmart and at the supplier community, and we have a wealth of knowledge within Ethan Walton.
So that someone could get a hold of you at Ethan Walton and find out some more information about this then?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Great. Well, Azu, thank you so much for sharing your insights on the Hispanic shopper and marketing, and we really appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Saturday morning meeting for suppliers. We'll be right back.
Retail Solutions is the market leader helping advance reporting and analytics with Walmart suppliers around the globe. We manage the data for you, automate data integration, attribution, and reports, and then help you focus on activities that will drive the most value. To do this, RSI works with you to perform a business value assessment to identify the largest value opportunities in your business. If improving results in sales through better insights and execution and efficiencies are important to you, contact RSI today.
Bentonville Commerce, less than 1 mile from the Walmart home office. You'll love the convenience, amenities, and customized options Bentonville Commerce offers. For more information or a tour, call 479-200-1112 today.
Bella Vista Village property owners have access to golf, fishing, tennis, nature trails, and more. To become a member or to learn more, go to bvvpoa.com.
Tap to Win engages with shoppers. They tap their phones on chips put in packaging or displays to get recipes, movie trailers, or even see instantly if they're a sweepstakes winner. Check out tpgrewards.com.
If you're nearing retirement, let us show you some unique strategies that are available through Mach 1 Financial. These include hedged equity strategies, tactical strategies, managed options, and hybrid annuities. Curious? Call Mach 1 today for details.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Meeting for Suppliers. I'm Jeff Clapper, CEO and owner of 8th and Walton. I'm here with Katie Holly to talk today about the Network of Executive Women and the upcoming event you're doing with the LPGA. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Nice to be here.
Thanks. Thanks for being here. Well, we're going to talk about the event. It's coming up in just a week. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And tell us a little bit about kind of Network of Executive Women. What's that all about?
Network of Executive Women is an organization that was established in 2001, mm-hmm. and now we have over 9,000 members nationally. We represent over 750 companies, and it's really meant to give an opportunity for women to succeed in retailing and in the CPG environment.
Great, which is obviously a big part of Northwest Arkansas.
Exactly.
Great. You know, I attended an event not too long ago at the AMP. It was a really fun group of people.
Yeah.
It's a great group. I mean, I was laughing before I was even done checking in, mm-hmm. and just met some really neat, smart, fun people. So
the women of New are some of my best friends this area, because we all have that common bond of either caring for our family, caring for children, adults, our aging parents, and yet we work and we work hard, and especially in this area, and we all have that common bond. And so they're just a great group of women.
In fact, I came home from that event and I told my wife, you need to get involved in this. This is really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. So the event you're doing with the LPGA, can you just speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So every year now we are sponsored by Kimberly-Clark, mm-hmm. Our signature event, and it's held at the John Q. Hammond Center, mm-hmm. On Thursday, June 25th, and it's a breakfast event. It begins at 7:30 in the morning, and it's an opportunity. It mixes our networking, which is our purpose of networking and engaging with others in the community, but then it has this great program that is learning from senior leaders in retail and CPG. So this year, our keynote speakers are Lara Desmond. She's the CEO of MediaVest. Latrice Watkins, SVP of Enterprise Strategy from Walmart. Mm-hmm. And then Kim Underhill, who is the president of Kimberly-Clark of their professional division.
It's a great panel.
It's a very strong, outstanding powerhouse of a panel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And so an attendee going to this event, is there a topic? Is there a certain sort of flavor to the whole thing that the people are speaking about?
This year, we're focusing on taking intelligent risk.
Okay.
Because we find that, we're trying to get to the bottom of what holds women back from reaching that senior level in CPG or retailing.
Probably anywhere professionally.
Exactly. It's interesting to know that women make up over half of the workforce in retailing, and yet only 1.8% of executive level CEO roles in those companies. And so the goal of New, big gap, especially when you consider mainly who the consumer set is.
Sure.
It is.
Right. Who are they really selling to?
Exactly.
In the end? Right.
So that is the goal of New, is to advance women in CPG. Their mission is to make it a better, stronger community with the insights and diversity in our teams.
And any other surprises or sort of things that make this event even more unique, I guess?
Well, it is our signature event. And when I say signature, it's our largest event. Okay. So it's our largest learning event that we hold throughout the year. Mm-hmm. There will be around 450 to 500 people in attendance.
Wow.
So it's a large event. The energy is just, it's very much alive. Mm-hmm. And at 7:30 in the morning, it starts, we're there very early setting up. But the unique opportunity is this connection with LPGA. Mm-hmm. And that all of the women empowerment opportunities that are going on in this area really come to life that week with the LPGA event. And we even have Morgan Pressel, who is an LPGA player. Hmm. She's set to come on the stage and visit with the team as well, with
neat.
A group.
That's mm-hmm. neat. And it's cool to get that outside inspiration too, not only professional women in an executive role, but other women who have excelled in professional
in
sport.
Their profession,
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the highest rank, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for taking the time today. We'll put some information up on the screen for people who want to know more about it, and I'm sure would love to see them at the event.
That would be great if they would go to newonline.org and register for the event, the Northwest Arkansas event on June 25th. That would be great.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Saturday Morning Meeting for Suppliers. We'll be back shortly.
Our thanks to all of this week's guests. Every month, we'll bring you another important retail initiative and guests who can shed some light on important topics and help you align your strategy appropriately. Just like everything coming from 8th and Walton, Saturday Morning Meeting for Suppliers strives to help you become a better partner to Walmart. Gracias por estar con nosotros.